Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kay Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz. Do I have a deep voice, would you say?
Deeper
in general?
I think it's deeper than mine, but I think mine's kind of high, so.
It's cute.
Okay, Maysoon, I had a cultural experience.
Okay.
It's a little different. It's a little bit of a different experience.
Oh, did you go to the circus?
Close. I went to Ancient Ways, the like witchy shop over there on Telegraph.
I want to go to all these places, but with
It's very easy to go to.
Katie would be great.
It's right by MacArthur Bart. God, this is like deep. So Katie, our research assistant, Katie Kondo, was raised Wiccan with like a very witchy mom who was in like a women's coven, basically. Yeah. And Katie was in like a girls group.
A girls coven?
Yeah. And they did like special
Katie's
things.
A magical being.
They did special things for like when you got your first period and stuff like that.
Well,
it was like
good.
Very like salt of the earth kitchen witch.
Did you like bury your first blood?
I don't know. You know, honestly, I haven't gotten the full, I don't think it was that hardcore. But anyhow, point is, I went over to Ancient Ways because I have started to think that I have a curse on me.
Oh, no. Who would curse you? Have you gone down the list?
I think there's
a potential enemies.
I think there's a few people out
there. Okay, let's name them.
No way.
Let's
discuss who potentially could have put a curse
just
on me.
Just in vague terms.
Here's one thing, Maysoon, that I've been thinking about because
Kate has her thumb and index finger together, pointing as if she's holding a stick and pointing at a chalkboard.
A chicken's beak.
A chicken's beak.
Okay, here's the deal. I've been working on this project about my grandma for like several years now, and she had a very tragic history, including being abused by this guy whose identity I had nailed down and found the grave of. I found the grave of my grandma's rapist, basically, and threw my piss on it.
Good.
Okay.
I think you cursed him.
That
feels more like you cursing someone.
Well, I spoke to a medium about it, and they were like, oh, you're stirring up, you know, this could stir something up. And so that made me think maybe something could be going on. And then I also have living people who probably just have plenty of reasons to be annoyed with me.
Annoyed is different than wanting to place a curse on you.
Well, look, we don't
need
to
damn you for life.
We don't need to get into the details, Maysoon, but let's just say I'm definitely very far from a perfect person.
That we know.
And I think I have crossed some folks with very powerful magic at their fingertips. Before I even went to Ancient Ways, I have students that are into witchcraft, and I was like, hey folks, you're really into it, like hardcore, like all their art is about it, they're talking about it all the time, they got the candles, the crystals, they got it all. And so I was like, hey, what do I do to get a curse
to
off
break a
me?
Curse, yeah,
like I need something going on here. And they were like, okay, you need jinx soap. Okay, this is soap that removes the jinx.
Do you wash it on your body? Do you use it, actually?
Yes. Okay. And then it's real soap.
Got it.
And then you need, they told me all these different like herbs and things, including one called hyssop, I think. And I had never heard of that before. And rue. Do you know these?
I feel like I've heard of hyssop. I don't know rue. I only know rue as in like a cooking rue.
Yeah, same.
Flour and, you know.
That's broth. Definitely not what they were talking about, I don't think.
Don't use that.
Don't put flour in the bathtub. Okay, so I was like, okay, well, I have kind of an idea now of what to do. So I went and I was like, where do I get these things? And they're like, literally any witchy store. Like, you know, just places that sell tarot cards and shit. And I was like, let me go to the absolute number one witchy shop of the Bay Area, Ancient Ways, just off MacArthur Bart Station on Telegraph in Oakland, right at the corner of...
I feel like I've seen it. There's like the corner where there's like the little mall, like there's like little strip mall,
yes.
And then it's next like two doors down or something.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I've never gone in, but it looks great from the outside.
Yes. And I want people to know that they have a door that's kind of an automatic door where if you open it just a little bit, it has like a hydraulic or something that will then open
it will then
it the
finish
whole
opening
way.
It. But if you try to pull it open,
don't you dare.
It's going to really fight you, right?
Yeah. Or if once it's open, don't try to pull it closed because it's on its own mission and you're going to break the door.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
And they'll tell you that. They'll tell you.
They will? Oh, yeah. They're like, please don't.
Okay. Also, they have masks there. if you don't bring your mask, they got masks for you. So pop on a mask.
They want you to wear your mask there.
And then you got to go to the people and you got to be
explain
like,
explain your situation.
Listen here.
You're like, oh God, help me, please.
And so I was like, hey, do you have Jinx soap? This is what I'm on the lookout for.
You didn't tell them like, hey, I think I'm cursed. My friends recommend. You didn't give them the whole story.
Well, I didn't talk about my grandma, but I mean, I was talking to this guy for a long time.
It sounds so fun.
Yeah. That I mean, it really was like basically like it could have
You're
become
getting a therapy session.
Exactly. And so it's like, okay, here's the soap options. And there's like several soap options. There's a Jinx removal soap. There's an uncrossing soap, which is even further thing. They also were like, we can get you some tinctures. We have oils like uncrossing and unjinxing oils, and also candles. There's a candle to remove, you know, bad stuff off your spirit. So I was like, let's get it all, wrap
Wait,
it
really?
Up. Let's go.
Oh no. Okay.
I left that place with like several soaps, several tinctures, a candle. I forget. He might have thrown in a couple of freebies because he was like, but here's the thing, Maysoon. I asked them if this all would remove a generational curse because I thought maybe something had passed on to me. Okay. And
do you think your mom is cursed? Does she think she's cursed?
It skipped a generation.
Oh, yeah. As they all do.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe, but she's just such a like upbeat person. I think she could just power through a curse. You know what I mean?
The curse can't hold
yeah.
on her. That's so, great. Damn.
Yeah. So anyhow, the witch there was like, jinxes and things like that have to be coming from someone. And
to
they,
a specific individual, right? Or
well, that it has to, it's usually from an individual. So if that person is dead, then they probably can't continue the energy to be bringing you this bad luck.
So spirits can't curse you?
I mean, that seemed to be what the guy was telling me. You got to also keep in mind, even though I dropped like $45 on soaps and salves and poultices and lotions. Like, I don't believe in any of this really, but I'm straight up taking a bath with all that purple shit every fucking day.
It's purple?
Yeah, there's some purple shit. There's some other goopy shit.
Well, how are you going to
get
know?
An infection?
How are you going to? Oh, God, please don't. Don't you dare get an
I'm gonna
infection.
I'm going to get a UTI.
No. You better just add some yogurt to the tub just to be safe.
Okay. Oh, God. Now I'm like making a parfait now in the bathroom.
It's probably good for your skin, actually. How will you know if the curse is lifted?
I mean, I feel like I'm already seeing the results.
Really? Wow. Quick turnaround. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Like, for instance,
ancient ways for the win.
The other day I had to come over here to et al because I let people in to have a book club once a month.
Yeah.
And I forgot my fucking keys, but by the absolute strike of luck, Aaron Harbor, who runs the gallery, was at Civic Center BART station, only two BART stations away.
That's
and
right.
came and met me and gave me his keys. And I felt like that was quite good luck indeed.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's all in the mind. So.
Well, it is good that, I mean, they live in the East Bay, so the fact that he was even in the city is
exactly
huge.
Exactly. That it all lined up.
Otherwise, you would have been calling Katie
I don't
get
know
a
what,
car over.
Yeah, that's the thing. I probably was. Oh, that was a good idea to have Katie come
No,
here.
It wasn't a good idea. You did that before and
oh,
she nearly
yeah,
killed
I forgot
you over
about
it.
That.
She was so mad.
So point is, I'm going to go ahead and give Ancient Ways a 9.7 out of 10.
Why 9.7? You're kind of usually an easy score is the thing. I'm sort of surprised by that.
You think I give like inflated scores? I gave Kota Ozawa like a 4.
I know. Well, that was the first time I've ever seen you so upset and almost angry about an art piece.
I was definitely like pretty peeved.
Yeah, you were peeved. What do we think the curse actually is? Just like,
I don't know.
It's kind of like a low level curse, it feels like, if anything.
For me, I think it was kind of like losing my mind and like becoming psychotic and like at the police.
Okay, so you think that was the curse?
I mean, the funny thing is, like, my grandma also suffered from mental illness, so I think it's kind of funny. You could think of it more as like a hereditary thing that was like a something physiological that was passed down through genes. But I want to pretend that it's actually through magic and witchcraft, because okay. that's easier to deal with.
Yeah.
And I mean,
which is interesting because it's also just not. Because you also are just saying, like, I don't believe it, but I want to
right.
work with it.
Well, anyhow. I mean, I'm doing it. I'm having yeah. some kind of cognitive dissonance.
It's nice to have something to do.
Right. That's some the thing.
Action.
I mean,
okay, I can do these things yeah. now. Great. I'm going to do
And I can do it on my own. Like, I, you know, with my medication, I have to deal with my psychiatrist.
Yeah.
To like.
And a pharmacist.
Yeah, and all this stuff that's not really like fun and ritualistic. Although I could add my medication to my bath routine.
Maybe you should. I wonder if that would have a, yeah. if you'd have a
have
better...
my pill and like a ring of crystals that I charge under the full moon.
Yes, totally.
Okay, Maysoon, you had an opening over there.
We sure did, over at the Arts Commission. Mm-hmm. It's a show called Ceremonies, Ritual to Self, curated by PJ Gubatina Policarpio.
Oh, wow.
Local curator.
Amazing.
It's funny. That, sorry. And uh-huh. including 5 artists, 3 are local Bay Area artists.
Jay Panza, Jericho Delarose.
And Bloodstone, Andre Bloodstone Singleton. And then the other 2 artists who are not local are Kari, who I don't know their last name, and then but they're based in New York, painter. And then Demian, who... I don't remember their last name as well, are based, I believe, in Portland. Uh-huh. Sorry. That's just how it is. The show just opened. I'll we'll be getting it all link. Together soon.
I'll put a link in the underworld.
But the show is inspired by the writing and sort of life of activist and poet Essex Hemphill, who passed away from HIV, or I think from HIV back in the 90s, early 90s.
And was the partner of Marlon Riggs, right?
Was he? I don't know. That's a good.
Isn't that why they're showing Tongues Untied?
No, I we're showing Tongues Untied specifically because Essex is in it.
Cute.
Yeah. It was amazing. Great poet. Turnout. The show, the opening was wonderful. Bloodstone did a little ritual, not performance, but sort of like audience engaged performance. That was really beautiful. And then we all sang Lift Every Voice.
Cute. Oh my God. Really, I would have cried very my moving. Ass off.
It was very moving. It was intense.
Yeah.
I had to stop many times and like clench my face because I was like, I'm going to start crying.
Yeah.
I could stop doing it. Like, just keep it together.
I wish we sang more at protests these days.
That's a nice idea.
Every time I've been at a protest and we did sing, it always makes me cry. And...
Yeah. It was a different experience for sure than we've
had. Oh, at an art opening, I'll say.
It felt very grounding, actually, which is really nice. I don't know. I went to a last minute performance last night.
Oh, which what is crazy. Was it?
I went on Instagram for a second, literally a second. And there was
one second.
Maybe it was like 30 seconds in reality. Mm-hmm. There was an Instagram ad, and I don't even consider the ads. I just kind of scroll right through them. And the ad was for SF Jazz. And I was like, oh, what are they doing? I didn't click on it because I don't click on anything. But it was Jason Moran, who's a pianist, uh-huh. who's amazing. And Marcus Shelby, who's a local composer and musician here.
Uh-huh. A huge pianist.
Yes. You can say that. Wait, why did you say that? Did I say it weird?
I'm saying it weird.
Oh, am I not getting something?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what I'm not getting. Okay. Anyhow.
Just a massive
okay.
pianist.
Okay. Are you playing off the word penis and piano? Yeah. Oh my God. Here we go. Penist. Kate's a 5-year-old today. Uh-huh. So I just was like, cool. I love those 2. They're great. I'm excited. Jason's based out of New York, so I don't think he's here that much. And he kind of spans the art world. I think he's also a painter. He had a big show at the New Museum ages ago where he had a piano in the exhibition, was like playing music like throughout the exhibition. I didn't see it, but I was like intrigued by it. So since then, I've always been he's always sort of been on the side of my brain, like, oh, I should, whatever. Anyhow, I got a ticket and they were doing basically kind of a tribute to Duke Ellington, which I don't think I realized off the top of my head. Or I don't think I realized because I just saw the 2 musicians, like, I like both of them. Looks interesting. They're coming together. I'm kind of curious about that. I'm just going to get a ticket and go. Which
good job, man.
I don't usually do, yeah. You know? And so Jason started off playing the piano like by himself, like no one else is on stage. And he did these like interpretive renditions of a few Duke Ellington songs. And he's just such an incredible piano player. Like, it is so exhilarating and fun to watch him. I was literally sitting on the edge of my seat. It's just sort of like, which I just feel like having that kind of experience is so, they're so few and far between, you know, where you're really just like so engaged and so excited. So I could have watched him play by himself the whole night. It was just the first three songs that he did solo, but he just went into like, he was playing a regular song and then it would just go into some crazy, like it would just be deconstructed, where there was a point where he literally was at the low end of the piano, the far end, like the deep bass end. And he was just kind of like, how do you describe this?
What, like, I don't know, doing his fingers like an octopus spider.
He was like fanning, playing in sort of like a...
like 9,000 notes a minute.
Like digging in the dirt. Like, it was just like, it was so abstracted, the sound. It felt like static.
Uh-huh.
But he did it for so long and he had his foot on the sustain pedal. So it just was like, it was just like building and so... it was great. It
maybe
was just,
I can find a clip of him.
It was
playing.
So wild. It was so good. It's like when music turns into like abstract art almost is what was happening,
yeah.
Like just sound wise. And it's like the music became more than just sound. It became like visual. It just became all these other things.
Whoa,
for me,
you
at least.
Were going off.
And he made like a soloist reference. And I was like, anybody knows soloist? I'm like, I don't know. Everyone's like, there's like three people in the audience who like knew soloist. It was like me, Ken, and our friend Lordy, who are all in the arts.
Uh-huh.
He's just really good. Sorry, I am excited because he's so good.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I would highly recommend it. He's playing, they're playing, the performance is again tonight and tomorrow night. No one's going to get this in time, but that's okay.
Well, watch out for those.
I didn't even know they were coming. It literally was like a blip on the screen. I was like, next minute I'm buying a ticket and going, which is kind of great. And then Marcus Shelby came out with his orchestra, and I didn't realize it was going to be an orchestra. And I don't necessarily love orchestra, I mean jazz orchestra, so it was all brass.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily love orchestral or orchestra
drummer?
Music, yes.
Uh-huh.
They were all phenomenal musicians, great, great, great. I don't know if I like the wall of sound feel so uh-huh. much, you know, with an orchestra.
Saxophones,
trumpet, baritone saxophones,
trombone,
four trumpets, three trombones, a tuba, clarinet.
Wow, Jesus.
I mean, it was everything. The drummer was fucking phenomenal. Like, uh-huh. just could do everything, was so on point. It was very good.
Hell yeah.
It was very good. It was really fun.
Was it like jazz, the jazz vibe where people do a little solo?
Yeah.
That's was it like very, solo?
No, it wasn't over the top. They yeah. did a lot of playing together, and then one person would kind of get up and do a little solo thing. And then there were also like clusters where like two people would do something together,
yeah.
and they would do that for longer, where they were not just soloing, but kind of really playing more of a piece.
Yeah.
And then there was a trio that was phenomenal, and that was a trumpet player, a tuba, and a trombone. It was so good. It was so rich and deep. I don't know. It was really fun. I would see Jason Moran anywhere at any time.
Yeah.
I've decided that now for sure. Having seen him and like formally.
A Jason Moran groupie and follow him.
Well, he was out in the lobby signing CDs. If you bought a CD and wanted a signature. And I just was like, I was so shy and I was so weird. I was like, I can't even do that. I can't even like talk to him.
Wow.
Because I was too like moved by it. Like I was going to be like a total stumbling mess if I tried to say anything to him.
Wow.
Which is funny.
Wow.
Weird, right? I don't get like that very often.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So guys, look up Jason Moran if you don't already know him. I feel like a lot of you probably do because...
You're all art nerds.
Well, art and music, I feel like a lot of people are listening to this. Maybe.
How do people feel about jazz? Let us know. 419-351-6606. You can send us an email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
Also,
thank you to our donors, Jim Prosser and Anonymous. And if anybody else wants to donate,
feel free.
If you feel moved, you can go to congratulationspinetree.com and hit that donate button.
Hit the donate button.
If you want.
Sorry. I was going to say also that my friend and I were discussing afterwards because we went out first. I had to eat. We went out for food and a drink. And we were trying to figure out, like, I like jazz that's weird, avant-garde, experimental, not in the pocket, not straight ahead, not your smooth listening, not at all. Mm-hmm. Never. I actually despise that kind of jazz sometimes.
Well, what is that?
What is what?
I really like Cannonball Adderley.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like John Coltrane.
I'm talking about like jazz today.
Okay.
Not all those Cannonball Adderley like Cannonball? Is like an amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going
to.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Not going to say anything about that. But I feel like there's like this sort of, you know, when like music comes from a specific place, whether it's like, it's fighting again. It's like jazz came out of like, it's so experimental, you know, it came out of this other place.
Yeah.
And then it gets like watered down as it becomes like better known.
Of course.
Everyone can do it.
Adopted by white
people. Adopted by white people. And it just becomes a different kind of music. And it's always never going to, it's just not as good for me.
I agree.
So we were talking about like, where are the like experimental, like cutting edge, pushing boundaries, jazz places in the Bay Area? Because I don't think it's SF Jazz. SF Jazz puts on nice shows, but I honestly am never, I'm always kind of bored by the people that, God, this sounds like such an asshole thing to say. I'm sorry, everybody who loves jazz at SF Jazz.
There is a place, Margaret Tedesco was just telling me about it because Layla Weaver goes there.
Oh.
There's some other place kind of not far from that, I think in that same kind of neighborhood that is like, people, if you know, please let us know.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Because SF Jazz is too blocks away from the Veterans Building.
I know, but it's not that. That's the thing. Literally, Margaret Tedesco and I were on fucking Google Maps trying to fucking find this place.
Oh.
And it looks really wild inside. It looks like a very contemporary, like, weird architectural situation. Let me get back to you on that one, Maysoon. But Maysoon, back on this performance, can you go ahead and give it a score?
Oh.
And of course, Maysoon doesn't give numerical scores, but...
Well, it's weird because I really think of it in two parts. There was also a singer. Sorry. A singer came out. This one, I think her name is Darren. She came out and sang three different songs. She came out and did one and then would go back and come out again. And she was very good at everything that she did. And it was fun to watch her because she really used her face so intensely to get like the sounds out.
Yeah.
Like her face would do these really wild contortions to like, and that was like amazing just to watch because she was so embodied in her singing, which I always love. But the singing style, it didn't grasp me like intensely, you know?
What was it, like Ella Fitzgerald type of thing?
It was nice. It was lovely. It was great. But it wasn't like, yeah, yes. It wasn't amazing. You know what I mean?
So that's going to factor into the score.
And then the other thing is, like, I think of it in two parts. Like, the part where it was just Jason Moran playing, and then the second part. So that's hard for me because they're very different feelings for me.
Right.
But do you want me to score it as a whole?
I mean, whatever you think is best. Probably as a whole, since it was one night of intake of performance.
Jeez. That's going to be a really hard one for me.
Maysoon is looking to the heavens.
Because I feel like the first part in my mind is like an ocean in a storm.
Okay. Which, like, sublime almost.
Well, no, in a storm.
Well, that's sublime, right?
Is it?
When I learned in art history class, my teacher was like, sublime is like when you're watching a hurricane, but from inside, like from safety. Where it's...
Oh, no, I'm thinking you're on the ship.
You felt in danger.
No, I don't... I think I'm trying to convey that kind of excitement and, like, cliffhangingness. Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Like skydiving?
No, that to me is not even... There's something more interesting about an ocean in a storm.
Okay, sure enough. Sorry to take you off track.
Skydiving.
You were really in your...
So ocean and a storm... I kind of want to say, like, you know that golden hour where the sun is setting and the light is brilliant? So maybe it's that moment.
Wow.
But I'm not sure what the landscape is. That's where I can't find it. It's not a mountain and it's not an ocean.
Is it a city?
Maybe
a Greek village?
I know I'm ridiculous. I love it, though. It's so fun. That's the general feeling.
Okay, really good, Maysoon. Incredible. Unmatched.
How long did that take?
Not that long. Okay, what else we got? You were talking about...
I need a break after that. That was like a lot really of energy.
You dug deep for that one.
I need a moment of silence.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
Okay. We had an artist... We had some conversation. We had some ideas brought up by an artist recently about getting introduced to gallerists through other artists and whether or not it was a faux pas to ask a friend. Well, not a faux pas with a friend, but with the gallerist, for you to say, hey, friend, who's represented at this gallery. I'm pointing at Maysoon with four fingers right now.
Or who maybe really knows the person well, let's say.
Hey, can you do an introduction between me and the gallerist?
Yeah.
And maybe that's not the way to do it these days.
I don't like that world. I'm not interested in that world where having like a known person introduce you is not okay. Like, I think that's so fucking bullshit and pretentious and gross. It makes me want to literally puke all over everyone.
Wait, what is it again?
You're like, what happened?
I got lost in the puke.
In a world where like I can't introduce someone to someone I know.
Yeah.
That person that's I know cuckoo. Is going to be annoyed. I'm just like, that's bullshit. You're fuck you. You know, I don't know.
Straight up. I haven't had a lot of times where I've asked to be introduced, but I've had a lot of times where I've been asked to introduce someone to someone else. And I don't always know what transpires once I've passed the baton.
It's tricky if someone asks you to introduce them and you don't actually think it's a good idea. What do you do then? I think that's one thing. But like in a case like for me, I offer to introduce someone. Uh-huh. I was like, hey, I think you should talk to these people that I know.
Right.
That are curators in our community.
Yeah.
Who I think you would have a good conversation with and who would be happy to come see your work.
Right.
Like in that case, it's me making the mental connection of like, this will work.
Well, what do you do when somebody asks you to introduce them to someone else and you're like, oh, this is not going
to
work?
I might try to have a conversation about like why they want to talk to that person.
Maysoon, let's role play it.
Do they think it's the right, like, what do they like about that person's like program? Like, I might try to like... Well, dig into that and then
let's
be
really work
no, I don't
want
to role play. Ring, ring. What if I say something dumb? No.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Hello, you've reached Maysoon Wazwaz's cell phone. Please leave a message at the beep.
Click. Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
The phone number you have dialed cannot be reached at right
click.
Now.
Click. Knock, knock. Knock,
definitely
knock.
Don't fucking do that. I'm gonna open the window and dump an egg on you.
Don't waste your eggs, Maysoon.
No, no,
Jesus
you're right.
Christ.
Maybe I'll
it's
just
like $45 out the window. Ring, ring. Come on.
I'm gonna need two rings, please.
Ring, ring.
Yes. Hello.
Hey, Maysoon. This is Jiminy Jenkins. And
hey, Jiminy. What's going on?
Yeah. Sorry, I haven't called you in a long time.
Oh. What's going on? Is everything okay?
Well, sure enough, I was.
How's your cat?
Really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got worried for a second there.
Doing great. But I called you to ask you for something, of course.
That is awkward. If I haven't talked to you in a long time, don't call me for something.
Yeah, that's kind of mean, actually. Mm. Yeah. I don't like that at all.
I don't think that's nice.
Okay.
Hey, Maysoon.
I would probably say, hey, I don't think I can, let me check in first. I wouldn't just give someone.
Just out of spite.
No, not even out of spite. I just think like, I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Hey there, it's Maysoon.
Hey, Maysoon. This is Jiminy Jenkins. How are you?
Hey, Jiminy. What's going on? Am I going to see you later tonight?
You know it.
Okay,
just
cool.
Just like we saw each other last
awesome.
Night. Awesome. We are very close friends.
And we see each other all the time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hey, I was just thinking about Ronson over there at... over there at Ronson and Kuffleffer Gallery. You know Ronnie Ronson.
Oh, yeah. Ron and I go way back. Mm-hmm. Used to work there.
Sure. Oh, I forgot about that. I was thinking I have a few bodies of work ready to go, and I was thinking that his venue might be one of the best places for this work
to be
exhibited. So I was hoping that maybe you could do a little introduction between us.
Sure.
Okay, so that was like your answer if you think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Now do an answer.
I don't want to do that.
Now do an answer as if you don't think it's going to be a good thing. What if you know that Ron Ronson actually hates Jiminy Jenkins' work? Like, you know that already. Okay. Okay, so
Sometimes Jiminy Jenkins might just need the studio visit where it's just like,
okay, so back.
It's a hard
so imagine
visit.
That's the scenario.
Okay, Mason, you think you could introduce me to Ron Ronson? I really think I should have a show there.
Okay, well, let's chat for a second here. What are you going for? You want a show there? You want him to, represent you?
Just a show at first.
You'd like a show at first. Okay. So why do you think you'd be a good fit there? Do you imagine?
Well,
I don't know.
They show.
I don't know what I would do.
You know, they show Beatrice Baxby's work there, and I feel like my work is just like hers.
Don't they mostly show painters, though, and you're a performance artist?
Well, yes, and also a roboticist.
Okay, so I wonder if there's other galleries that might be a better fit.
Wait, you don't think
for
Ron
the
Ronson
work.
Would be showing my work? I thought we were a great match.
I mean, you could certainly talk. I think I would be happy to introduce you guys and maybe do a studio visit, but I think you should also think about maybe some other galleries that might be also a good fit or a better fit.
Okay, that was great. Okay, now the scenario is,
oh God,
Jiminy Jenkins' work is just bad, period.
Oh God.
Okay,
Jiminy Jenkins,
you don't like it, nobody likes it. Okay,
let's go. I got the answer already.
Okay,
so Mason, you think you could introduce us? That would be a huge help.
You know, Jiminy, I haven't seen your work in a really long time. Maybe I should come by and do a studio visit first, unless we can talk then.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I'll come by. Let's have a look. Let's see what's going on. And then maybe we can have a little chat about the next direction or the next steps for you.
Okay.
5 months later.
No! Okay. Oh, my God. Sorry, that went off the charts. I heard it. No, Kate, don't make me. Come on. This is like you just don't answer the call anymore. You just stop, if this is like Jiminy like pushing too hard, I'm gonna be like, I'm not talking to you right now.
No, it's 5 months later, we're at Jiminy Jenkins' studio.
Oh God, no, let's not do a studio visit too.
And Jiminy is like, okay, well, this is what I've been, these are the robots, these are the wind chimes.
Oh no.
You know, what do you think? It's bad. You hate it. You do not resonate.
Is it good for like the commercial realm? Can I recommend him to some like stores? Is it like sellable work? Is
oh,
it
like
cute,
commodities.
Sellable? Commodity. Yeah, I guess that's what I mean. Sorry.
No, yeah. No.
Versus
it's
like
just
a fine arts gallery.
Objectively bad. It's bad. Like you don't like it. You don't think it fits anywhere. What do you do? Now, this would never apply to anyone we know because we don't know anybody.
God.
This.
I don't know. I don't know what you do in that case. I mean, I would never tell someone their work sucks ever. Never, ever, ever. I would only be able to say like what I see, talk to them about what it's about for them, why it's important for them. If they had questions, I would try to answer them as honestly as possible without being mean. Like, I would never be cruel to someone. That's just not right. There's no point in doing that. I don't, for me. Other people think it's a great thing to do. I don't know. If there were areas where I felt like they could improve, I would probably say that, you know, like if it was a mess, I'd be like,
has this happened to you before?
Yeah, I've done like a few of those like portfolio reviews, and like I've had artists be completely unorganized. I'm like, hey, it'd be great if you were organized next time.
Right. But I mean, where the work you have just, you're just like, damn, this work is unsalvageable.
It depends on the person. If the person is super awkward and the work is bad, then it's just a fucking awkward situation. If the person is like talkative and you can at least have a conversation with them, then you can find ways to get in there.
Yeah.
And give some feedback at least.
But you've never just been like, I'm sorry, but like all hope is lost.
No, I would literally never. I just don't think that's my, I don't think that's appropriate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to literally step on someone's entire, like, I just think that's awful.
Yeah.
I'm not God. You know
what
I mean?
There's always the hope that if they keep at it, that they'll find something.
I just don't know what that does for someone. If that's what they love doing and you say, this is shit, like, why would you do that to someone?
I mean, I wouldn't.
I would never, ever in my life do that to someone. Never.
I'd be way too scared to do it.
Why would you do it, though? Why would you want to do that?
I don't know. Just to be like, hey, this isn't working. You really need to shake it up to find something that does.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
But then
I have talked to artists where like they're going in one direction, but there's a different direction that's more interesting. And I'll be like, why don't we talk about this direction? I'll like kind of steer back to this other thing.
Yeah, 100%.
But I guess I haven't said that's not. I might have said this work is not as strong as this work, probably.
Yeah.
And then explain.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I would never just stomp on someone. Never. I would just be mortified. I couldn't imagine doing that. I couldn't imagine it happening to me, and I would never do it to someone else. I just think it's too cruel.
It could lead to jinxes.
It could lead to jinxes. It could lead to someone like quitting what they're doing. You know, like, I don't know. It could lead to terrible things. I just would never. That was a lot of work for me. I can't do that anymore.
Okay, sure enough.
The role playing was very stressful. Role playing.
It's really good.
You're good at, yeah, I'm not as good at, I need to figure out how to role play with you.
But to be fair, you were role playing yourself.
That's true. True. I wasn't pretending I was someone else.
All right. Well, Maysoon, I think we've really covered a lot of territory today.
We did a good job.
We really dug all the way down into our deepest soul to do some of these things that we've said. So
I'm impressed by us.
I think people should probably really just, if you're listening to this,
might be one of our best episodes.
Each one better than the last. Although our interview with Kathy was really fun.
Some good feedback on that one.
Maysoon, I think that the listener, if anybody is listening to this, you should probably now stand up and give us a standing ovation and a salute.
Yes.
Okay, well, Maysoon, we're going to go ahead and say free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
And I'm going to be unjinxing myself from the bridge.
Oh, good. To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.